You know, we love to hear about the love of God, don't we? But we don't want to hear about his wrath. We don't want to hear about his judgment. And yet deep inside of us, don't we realize that if God is God, if he is righteous, if he is holy, that he also has to be a God of wrath, that he has to set a standard, and that there has to be a degree of punishment for those that break the standard? Otherwise, is God really God? I mean, if we can just break his laws and break his commandments and ignore him, and he really does exist, do you think that we can get away with that? I want to tell you something. We can't. And we need to understand God's wrath and why that wrath is poured out and how that wrath is poured out. And that's what we're going to talk about today. Booklets? Do you have your colored pencils? Are you ready to study God's Word? Are you ready to discover truth for yourself? I know the subject for today doesn't sound very, very encouraging, but you know what? We really need to understand God. And we need to understand if there is a wrath of God that is going to be poured out on men, then we need to understand that so that we can avoid that wrath. Because God tells us, and we're going to see it, that all men are without excuse. In other words, whether you believe in him or not, whether you acknowledge him or not, whether you honor him as God or not, someday you and I are going to stand before him. And when we stand before him, our mouths are going to be shut. We're not going to have any excuse. Now, why? Well, let's look at it. Romans chapter 1. Now, as we look at Romans chapter 1, I want to start in verse 16. And I just want us to catch the flow here, because when you study the Bible, context is very important. Context means what goes before and what goes after. Context is the setting in which you discover truth. And God never wants you to take Scripture and rip it out of its context, because the minute you rip truth out of its context, what happens is you get a pretext. And so you don't want that. You don't want what's false or what you're just assuming. You really want to know what God says, and you want to understand it in the context in which he says it. So Romans chapter 1. Now, as I read, there's a word that you and I have not marked yet. And that word is righteousness. And so when I come to righteousness, if you're just able to listen and you're not able to look at the Bible for some reason or another, then simply say righteousness out loud, okay? Because the minute you do that, it helps you remember it. So in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. So he says, this message that I have is not a message that brings me shame. And the reason it doesn't bring me shame is because it changes a person's life. It saves them from the power of sin. But then he goes on to say this, for in it, in the gospel, the righteousness of God. That's right, righteousness. Now, how are we going to mark it? Well, purple is a royal color. And so I use purple sometimes for God, but I also use yellow. So what I did, since God is righteous, then I colored it purple and I boxed it in yellow. You can simply put an R over it if you want to. The thing is that it's always better when you're marking your Bible to color code it rather than to use a lot of symbols, because otherwise the symbols can overcome and you don't overcome what you're reading. So in verse 17, it says, for in it, in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. Now, remember, we mark faith like a little Bible. You see it on the screen there. All right. So righteousness of God is revealed from faith. In other words, we receive it by faith and we live it by faith. From faith to faith. It's all of faith, nothing else. As it is written. And then he tells us why it's from faith to faith, because the righteous man shall live by faith. In other words, the way that you and I live every single day should be according to what the Word of God has to say. That's to order our steps. That's to show us what we're to believe. That's to show us how to respond. So we live by faith. Then he says, for the wrath of God. Now remember, wrath has a red slash like that. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness. You say, well, that's unrighteousness. How do I mark it? Mark it the same way that you mark righteousness, but put a slash through it. You know that you see a sign, and it's a sign that is a normal sign for a way to go or something like that, a left-hand turn. But then you see a cross through it, a slash through it, and that's saying you can't make a left-hand turn. And they're doing that because people from all different languages are living in our country now, and so they want to do it in a symbolic way. So even the government uses that. So you take unrighteousness, color it the same way, and then put a slash through it, okay? He says, for the wrath of God is revealed. Now let me explain something to you. And I told you this last week, but the word is revealed, the verb is revealed, is in the present tense in the Greek language. Now, the present tense in the Greek language means continuous or habitual action. In other words, what he's saying is the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven. In other words, right now, do you know what? God's wrath is being revealed on this earth. And it is being revealed from heaven against, now watch what he says, against all ungodliness and unrighteousness. Now this word for ungodliness is asebia, A-S-E-B-I-A. And what it means is this, just think of ungodlike. What is ungodliness? Ungodliness means I am as far away from being like God as I can be. I'm the opposite of God. And so what God is saying is, look, a man can be righteous. A man can be like God. God's a righteous God, and a man can live by God's standards. But when men refuse to live by God's standards, when they suppress the truth of God in their ungodliness, in their unrighteousness, then God's wrath is coming out on them. You say, but I didn't get struck from heaven, and I know that I'm not living like God would have me live. And I know you haven't gotten struck by heaven, but let me ask you a question. Lightning hasn't struck you. There was a day. Do you realize that there was a day? I'm old enough to know that. There was a day when men would say, oh, don't say that. Lightning will strike you. Why? They knew that God would judge. They knew that God had standards, and that if we didn't hold those standards, he would judge. And so they'd say, oh, I hope lightning doesn't strike me. We've lost we have such a lack of fear of God. And by fear of God, I mean a reverence of God, a trembling of God, that we don't respect him anymore. We don't even think about him striking us with lightning. We just think that God's a God of love. He's a mamby-pamby God. You can manipulate God. You can get away with it, and nothing's going to happen. But just look around you. Look at your life. Look at your relationships. Look at what's going on. Look at the things that you're caught in and enslaved in, and you know that they're wrong, and you feel trapped, right? What is that? That's the wrath of God. You say, whoa. You mean that God's wrath is seen in some of the hard things that I'm going through? Uh-huh. You say, explain that to me. I will. In just a minute. But first, I want you to see this. I want you to see that his wrath is being revealed against two things, against all ungodliness and against all unrighteousness. So unrighteousness is when I deliberately do not do what God says is right. Unrighteousness is when I choose to say, listen, don't set my standards. Don't tell me what's right and what's wrong. I will do what I think is right and what I think is wrong. All right. So it's being revealed against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. So you want to mark unrighteousness again. Now that word suppress means this, that you're literally going to hold down the truth. In other words, the truth is not going to be seen. The truth is not going to be visible at all because you're suppressing it. Now that word suppressing is also in the present tense. So it means this, that you keep on suppressing truth. How? By your unrighteousness. You see, when God made you, when he made mankind, he made us in the image of God. He made us so that we could reveal to all of creation what God was like. But then, remember, sin entered into the world. And this is the segment that we're in the book of Romans. We're dealing with a segment that has to do with the issue of sin. So we're looking at sin, and we're about to see what God is going to do with sin. But as we look at sin, what I want you to understand is that when sin entered into the world, then all men are born as sinners. Romans 3 is going to tell us this. All have sinned, and we've all come short of the glory, the correct estimate, the opinion that the world should have of God. But when you and I, just in flat out rebellion, in flat out just digging our heels in and saying, listen, I'm going to live the way I want to, then you can know that as you keep suppressing truth, as you keep disobeying God, as you keep defying God, then God's wrath is being poured out on you. And what does the word wrath mean? What is the Greek word for wrath? And you want to write it down. And sometimes it's good to write it right down with a fine pen, right in the margin of your Bible or right by the text. But the word for wrath is O-R-G-E. O-R-G-E. And it is an anger that is a building anger. It builds and it builds and it builds and it builds until finally, it's expressed. And so what he's saying here is that this wrath that he is pouring out, this wrath, and I want to tell you what it means now. The wrath of God that he's revealing, that he is pouring out right now on men who suppress the truth and ungodliness and righteousness is really a wrath that says, okay, you want to live that way? You want to act like that? You want to behave like that? You want to think like that? You want to talk like that? You want to do those things? Okay. Go ahead. Go right ahead. Go right ahead. Go ahead. You want it? You've got it. You do it. And I'm going to stay out of it. And you know what? You're going to reap the consequences. I want to ask you a question. Have you looked at our society lately? Are you aware of all the changes that have come in the past 30 plus years? It's a result of us suppressing the truth of God in our unrighteousness. It is the result of us saying, I will do what I want to do. Get your hands off of me. Don't tell me what to do. I'll live the way I think is right. And you know what? What man thinks is right is not right according to God. And he gets and reaps the wrath of God. Oh, beloved, what you have to understand is another important factor in all this. And I'll give it to you when I come back. Have you ever wanted to go someplace just to get away and you couldn't? Something was stopping you. It was the children, or it was the family, or it was finances, or it was just time. Well, we've got good news for you. We're going to have a women's conference, and we're going to webcast part of that women's conference. I'm so excited because I get to teach you, and our subject is help, Lord, help. I need peace. I need understanding. I need hope. So I want to invite you as an individual in your home or with a group of women or in your church to get together and to sign up for our webcast. I hear that it's almost as good as being there. That's October 21st and 22nd. Now, what's that other factor that's so important in this equation that ends up in the wrath of God? That important factor is you. It's me. It's anybody that does not believe, that does not respond to the evidence that there is a God. So, can I erase your name because you have responded? I can erase my name because I have responded. But listen to what he says. I had not responded until I was 29 years old. And you know what? I suppressed the truth of God in my ungodliness and in my unrighteousness. And you know what? I reaped an awful harvest. I reaped an awful harvest from my immorality. And little did I realize, and I didn't realize it then, because you see, when you sow a seed, the minute that you sow that seed, you don't get a product. It takes a while for that product to come up, for that seed to fall into the ground and for it to open up, and then that little shoot begin to come out. And for a long time, you don't necessarily see it come out of the ground until later. And you think, oh, you forgot that you sowed that seed. Oh, what is that? Oh, that's what I put in the ground some time ago. And see, what I didn't realize was in my immorality, in my flagrant disobedience of the Word of God, and I knew there was a God, and I knew that He said, you shall not commit adultery. I knew that He wanted me to be righteous. I knew the Ten Commandments. I didn't know how, because I really didn't understand that Christianity was a relationship and not a religion. And so I just thought I was a Christian because I had been baptized, because I had been confirmed. I thought I was a Christian. I suppressed. I knew the truth. I shook my fist in God, in the face of God, literally. And I said, to hell with you, God. And I went out to do what I wanted to do because I wanted to be loved. So I went from one man to another man looking for this love, all the time sowing all these seeds of unrighteousness. And not realizing that God's wrath, God was letting me have my own way, and that that would impact my sons. And then that it would have an effect, such an effect on my sons, that it could have an effect on my grandchildren, on some of my grandchildren. And it did. It did. You see, we don't stop and think. So, God says the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all ungodliness, against all ungodlikeness, against all unrighteousness of men who suppress, men, women, who suppress down the truth, hold down the truth, excuse me, who suppress the truth of God in their unrighteousness because, look at the next verse. Don't look at me. Don't look at the screen. Look at the next verse. Unless you don't have a Bible, we'll put it on the screen. Sorry. Because that which is known about God, now watch, is evident where? Within them. Within them. Now you say, wait a minute, wait a minute. I wasn't raised in church. Wait a minute, wait a minute. What about all those people in those dark countries and those Aborigines that have never heard? Listen, listen to me. God made man. God created man. And God created every man with a God-shaped vacuum. So that man knows that something is missing and man knows that there is a God. Do you know that they have studied every tribe practically on the face of this earth and they have never found anyone that did not worship something outside themselves? We know that there has to be a God outside ourselves. That we're not God. Many of us think we're God today. But he says, because that which may be known about God is evident within them. Now listen, for God made it evident to them. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes, God's attributes that you cannot see, are His eternal power, His divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood through that which has been made, so that they are without excuse. In other words, listen, if you are listening to me and you do not believe what I'm saying, or you've never bowed the knee to Jesus Christ, and you would never bow the knee, and you would never say, okay, God, your son is going to be my master. He's going to be my Lord. I'm going to accept him as my savior, and he is going to direct my life. If you would refuse to do that, then you know what? When you stood before God at the great white throne judgment of God, and the books were opened, and they went down and they saw your name, and then they looked at all your deeds, they would say, you're going to spend eternity in the lake of fire. You're going to live forever and ever and ever because you're eternal. Once man's born, he's eternal. You will live eternally in the lake of fire with the devil, with his angels, where the worm dies not and the fire is not quenched. That's where you're going to live forever. And you know what? It's a sad moment for you. It's a horrifying moment for you. But it is also a grievous moment for God, because he doesn't want you to perish. He doesn't want you to spend eternity in the lake of fire. You say, well, then why did he make it? He made it for the devil and his angels. The end of Matthew 25 tells us that. That's what he made it for. But listen, precious one, you will not be able to offer one single excuse. Not one single excuse. Because God says, look at verse 20, so that they, these who have suppressed the truth of God in their ungodlikeness, in their unrighteousness, those who have held it down, those who have walked in rebellion to God, they're without excuse, absolutely without excuse. Why? Because we just read it. God makes the truth of God evident in here. And he splatters out all creation. The sun, the moon, the stars, the night, the day, the ocean stopping at the seashores and never coming over them. All these things testify that there is a God, that there is an Elohim, that there is a creator. And that there is an order to this universe. That there is a power outside of man. You say, I don't believe it. Listen, if you don't believe it, it's because you've suppressed that truth. It's because you have ignored this gnawing within. But I want to tell you something. The reason that you're listening is not the reason that you may think. The reason that you're listening is because God wants to bring you to himself, because God loves you, because God does not want you to perish, because God does not want you to experience his wrath, because God wants to come inside of you, as we're going to see in the book of Romans, and shed his love abroad in your heart, because God wants to take you and gather you in his arms and bring you to his all-sufficient breast. His name is El Shaddai, the all-sufficient one. And he wants you to be his. He wants you to be his. So listen to me very carefully. God has brought you and me together on this program and whatever else you're seeing that tells you the same thing that the Word of God says. God is bringing you to himself. Don't resist. Don't resist, because as long as you resist, you're experiencing the wrath of God. Listen to John. Let me take you to the Gospel of John. I was going the wrong way. John chapter 3 and the 36th verse. John chapter 3, verse 36. And this is what he says. He who believes in the Son has eternal life. But he who does not obey the Son... You see, obedience and belief are synonymous. If you really believe, according to God's definition, then you respond. There's an act of obedience. So it says, but he who does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God. If you're in your Bible and you're looking at it, mark wrath again. But the wrath of God abides on him. And abides on him means it's right now. The wrath of God is abiding on you right now. And God wants to remove that wrath. And that's why Paul says, I am a debtor to the gospel. I am under obligation. I am not ashamed of this good news because it is the power of God to salvation to everyone that believes. To everyone that believes. To the Jew first. If you're Jewish and you're sitting in Israel, or you're sitting in the United States of America, or in Europe, wherever you're sitting, and you're listening to this, just know this, that to believe this does not deny the fact that you're a Jew, but it proves, as you're going to see as we go on, that this is what Judaism is all about. Judaism is all about the Messiah. It's all about the changed life that the Messiah brings. So just know that, precious one. So the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven because God has given us an inward witness that there is a God, and he's given us an external testimony. The things that God created testify to the fact that he is God. And so what is your responsibility? To honor him as God, to bow the knee and say, God, I want to belong to you.
Thank you for watching today. All the programs you see on Precepts for Life are available on CD and DVD. To order your copy of today's program, log on to our website at preceptsforlife.com. To download your free copy of the study guide or to find out more about Precept Ministries International, click on our website or call us today at 1-800-763-1990.